Get up, get dressed, get to work. Get up, get dressed, get to work. Get
your
up,
morning routine can be a real drag. Get to
work. Unless you get smart. McIntyre in the Morning with Doug, Leanne, and Randy. Mornings 5 to 10. KABC. Los Angeles, Orange County. A Cumulus station.
KABC News is live and local at 10 o'clock. I'm Jeff Whittle, and the polls are open in Alabama for today's special election to fill Jeff Sessions' Senate seat. Republican candidate Roy Moore arrived at his local polling place to cast his vote on horseback. Democratic candidate Doug Jones was met by cheering supporters when he arrived at a church in the Birmingham suburb of Mountain Brook to cast his ballot. Of course,
a divisive and ugly campaign, so everyone from the candidates to the media to the voters themselves are ready to see this election actually happen.
The polls will close at 4 o'clock this afternoon, our time. That'll be 7 in Alabama. The man accused of setting off a pipe bomb in New York City subway system yesterday is now facing terrorism charges.
Akayed Ula is facing several charges, including criminal possession of a weapon, supporting an act of terrorism, and making a terroristic threat. The police department announced the charges this morning as Ula recovered from his wounds at Bellevue Hospital. One day after the bombing, investigators are still piecing together the 27-year-old Bangladeshi's history. That includes interviews with his wife and in-laws in Bangladesh. He was back in his native country in September, where he spent time with his wife and six-month-old child. Police say while Ula had a taxi driver's license, he recently did some electrical work with his brother near where the attack took place. Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
The Thomas Fire has now blackened 234,000 acres in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. That massive blaze has destroyed 887 structures, mostly homes. It's only 20% contained. Mandatory evacuations remain in effect for tens of thousands of residents. Now, the L.A. County fires, they're starting to get a handle on those. Local firefighters are expecting full containment of the Creek Fire near Sylmar, the Rye Fire in Santa Clarita, and Skirball Fire in Bel Air by Saturday. The city and county of Los Angeles will open a local assistance center in Lakeview Terrace this afternoon with vital information for residents impacted by the three L.A. County fires. That center will be open today through Friday from noon to 8 p.m., Saturday 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's located at 11,075 Foothill Boulevard, with information on insurance claims, housing assistance, tax assessments, building permitting, crisis counseling, even animal services for fire victims. And this news report is brought to you by Leon's Transmissions. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Clippers beat the Raptors 96-91 for their second straight win after dropping four in a row. Lakers visit the Knicks this afternoon. Ducks skated by the Hurricanes 3-2. Pacific Division leading LA Kings go for their ninth straight win when they host the New Jersey Devils at 3:30 this afternoon right here on KABC. Dolphins upset the Patriots 27-20 on Monday Night Football. NFL Network suspended analyst Marshall Faulk, Heath Evans, and Ike Taylor pending an investigation into allegations they sexually harassed and assaulted a wardrobe stylist. And brothers LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball have signed contracts to play for the same professional basketball team in Lithuania. And that is sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. KABC News Time, 10:03 with dependable traffic when you need it the most. Long-running SIG alert continues in West LA, northbound on the 405 at Santa Monica Boulevard. Crash involving a police officer still has the right lane shut down for an investigation. Traffic jam solid all the way back from the 105 interchange. And even prior to that, usual slowing through the South Bay curve on the northbound 405 from the 110 interchange up towards Hawthorne Boulevard. We also have an accident in Burbank. It's on the eastbound 134. Right around a Forest Lawn, left lane block there. Traffic pretty much slow go all the way back from Tampa Avenue on the eastbound 101 freeway. Also, still seeing slowing on the southbound 57 freeway from the Pathfinder Road exit down towards Brea Canyon Road before things open up. Also slowing on the southbound 55 from about Chapman Avenue down to the 5 merge. And that's your KABC dependable traffic. KABC SoCal weather. Sunny skies today. Highs upper 70s near the coast, mid-70s downtown and in the valleys. Right now, 70 at LAX, 61 in Santa Ana, at 72 in Woodland Hills. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Places, everyone.
Five, three, and music.
And action!
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden 10 begins right this very second. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. He'll beat anyone's advertised price. Or your mattress is free. We have our news quiz coming up. For tickets to go see Knott's Merry Farm, a family four-pack of that, or the Body Worlds exhibit, that's next hour. Corey Lewandowski's got a book out. Going to ask him about what went on behind the scenes in the campaign in just a little bit. But there's a big election, if you didn't notice, in Alabama. Huge election. For the Senate seat vacated by Mr. Sessions. Steve Shepard joins us. He is the campaigns editor for Politico. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be here.
Well, so I wanted to get some nuance and some sanity on this election. There's so much going on there. First of all, the fact that Mr. Moore was interviewed by a 12-year-old was stunning to me. The fact that a war buddy told a story about him walking into a brothel in Vietnam, but he didn't partake as a show of character, it was pretty strange. His wife calling out the fact that they have a lawyer who's a Jew, it was an amazing thing to watch. And the polling is all over the place. It's very hard because pollsters do not have a good handle. They haven't spent a whole lot of time down there. And also with special elections are just that, special. Plus, a lot of people don't want to answer when you have a candidate who has this much painted background around them. They may be embarrassed to answer accurately. And then there are different parts of Alabama that are so poor. People don't have landlines when they do the polling. The Washington Post is the paper that kind of went after him, and his voters don't care about the Washington Post. So there's a lot in the air there. Can you give us some context about how to predict what's going on in this poll and how different Alabama is unto itself in an election like this?
I mean, you sort of hit all the reasons why there's so much uncertainty around this election in Alabama today. You mentioned not only is the polling a little bit all over the place. Just yesterday, we saw a poll from Fox News that showed Doug Jones, the Democrat, ahead by 10 points. We saw another poll that showed Roy Moore, the Republican, ahead by 9 points. Both would be decisive victories, and these surveys are pointing in opposite directions. A lot of pollsters are declining even to get nailed down on one prediction, instead offering a bunch of different turnout scenarios. You know, it's really unusual to have a special election this time of the year between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We really don't know who's going to come out and vote. We do know from other elections in 2017 that, generally speaking, Democrats have been more enthusiastic to vote than Republicans. We don't know if people are declining to tell pollsters that they don't want to vote for Roy Moore, right, given the molestation allegations against him, and that maybe he has some hidden support. We also don't know if maybe they don't want to admit they're voting for a Democrat because they haven't voted for a Democrat for federal office in a while. But ultimately, they will vote for Doug Jones. There's a lot we don't know. The great thing about elections is that eventually you get a result, and the polls will close in about 7 hours throughout the state of Alabama, and we're about to find out some answers to all these questions, not just from the vote totals, but also from the exit poll that will provide some answers about how voters really took in all of this information about Roy Moore and Doug Jones over the past 6 weeks.
How important is this election to the Trump brand at this point? He threw in, he went after Strange, that didn't happen. Now he's kind of sniffing around this, waiting, and he saw, A, he needs the seat, he needs the vote for anything he wants to move forward, like the tax plan. But a win, I guess, bolsters him, except that the talk is, so, and as a matter of fact, some voters said, we're voting for him because we know as soon as he gets in, they're going to get rid of him, put a Republican in there, so we're rich. He's a placeholder for us. Yeah, yes, he's heinous. But we're voting Republican just to get that seat and get somebody in there. What does this do to the president's brand? First off, if it's a loss, that's a huge statement, because Roy Moore theoretically should win in this state in this election by 20 points, 30 points. It should be a slam dunk. So if it's not, Democrats are going to claim a win anyway if it's a couple of points. But the win, now they got a different headache to deal with in the Senate. And you got another senator from the same state who's known the man for how long saying, I can't get myself to vote for him. And that senator is pretty respected, Richard Shelby.
Yeah, look, I do think that there is enough about this contest that is unique that I'm not sure, certainly it would not look good for the president to have poured his endorsement in the final week of the campaign and then to see Roy Moore fall short. But I do think that certainly given Roy Moore's baggage in this race, that President Trump, if Moore were to lose, could turn around and say, well, you know what, we had a really bad candidate who'd been accused of some really awful stuff. And so I'm not sure that it's going to get pinned on him that much. And if Roy Moore were to win, well, a Republican should win in Alabama. It's been 25 years since they voted for a Democrat for senator. And that man is Richard Shelby, whom you mentioned, who switched parties 2 years later.
Yeah, so, wow. Does it look like turnout is already beyond where it should be at this point? Does it look like people are energized?
I'm careful not to put too much stock in some of the anecdotal evidence that you see in the first few hours of voting based on people's experiences at the polling place. What I will say is, though, that when you look, especially in some key either Democratic areas or areas where you could expect Roy Moore to struggle relative to another Republican, areas with more college-educated Republican, but white Republican voters, you do see the request for absentee ballots. There's no early voting in Alabama, so we don't have full numbers, but we do have requests for absentee ballots that are greater than in previous special elections. So there's some evidence that we might see a higher turnout than you might think otherwise. Also, there's been a ton of attention on this race. You know, this race is not, if it weren't for the allegations against Roy Moore and he was going to be on track for a 10 to 20 point victory, like you mentioned, it wouldn't have gotten this kind of national attention. And so, you know, for every Republican who might stay home because they don't want to vote for a Democrat, but they don't feel like they can support Roy Moore, you may have a more casual voter on either side who decides to turn out just because they've heard so much about this race over the past 6 weeks.
So the other thing that that I hear, and I'm wondering, again, since you work with campaigns, Roy Moore, this is a guy who was removed from the Alabama Supreme Court 2 times, okay? So he kind of says, I'm for the Constitution, protecting the Constitution, except when I disagree with stuff, and then not so much. He also said that a Muslim representative shouldn't serve, which, by the way, the Constitution directly says it prohibits any religious death. So he said a lot of stuff, done a lot of stuff. Is this really, when you get to the bottom of this and peel the onion away, is this just about abortion in Alabama? Is that the folks down there go, you know what, I don't care about this, or that. I care about the abortion issue, and he's our guy.
I mean, I think that will be the case for some of the Republican-leaning voters today. You do hear that anecdotally, that the fact that Doug Jones supports abortion rights is something that for pro-life voters or opponents of abortion rights voters in Alabama, that it's something that they just can't support it, and that may lead them to vote for a candidate whose character they think is questionable. Sure, and there are some Democrats who have said over the past couple of weeks that if Doug Jones weren't a vocal supporter of abortion rights, that he might have this race locked up. I don't know if that's necessarily true. We are really locked into both across the country, and particularly in a state as polarized as Alabama, we're really locked into our partisan camps, and so I'm not sure how much of that is actually stance on an issue, or in how much of that is our tribalism, and our really recent unwillingness to vote for a candidate from the other party, particularly when it comes to a federal race versus maybe like a governor's race.
Gotcha. Talking to Steve Shepard, who is a campaigns editor for Politico. What about the Steve Bannon effect? So Bannon is there campaigning, and he made fun, first of all, Ivanka Trump, not by name, but he said there's a special place in hell for people who pray, and children was her comment, and he mocked her when he said there's a special place in hell for Republicans who know better. So that's kind of a shot at Ivanka Trump. This whole race, you're looking at traditional, the traditional GOP, who he's demonizing, saying these guys will hold on as long as they can because they just want to keep their jobs, deal with lobbyists, make money. How big is the Bannon effect in this race? How much does he matter?
I don't think he matters very much at all, to be honest. I think you saw him jump in right before the Republican runoff for the Republican nomination between interim Senator Luther Strange and Roy Moore, hold a rally for Roy Moore. Roy Moore was going to win anyway. He just wanted to hitch his wagon to Roy Moore's train as it pulled first into the station. I'm not sure that he has a lot of voters at home waiting to hear the candidate he supports or showing up at a Roy Moore rally to see Steve Bannon because he's the headliner. I have a lot of doubt that that's the case. What I would say is that where he has an impact is the media company he controls, Breitbart.
Right.
A lot of, conservative voters, especially as they've rejected a mainstream media that might include, at least on the news side, Fox News. You know, Fox News on the news side produced a poll that came out yesterday that showed Doug Jones up by 10. That increasingly, they're going there to hear from the Trump wing of the party. And, look, if you look at that website since these allegations were first surfaced, Breitbart has spent a lot of time and energy trying to discredit the allegations against Roy Moore. That is a place where I do think Steve Bannon has an impact. But as a celebrity or campaign surrogate, I don't think he really matters.
So as campaigns editor, a couple other questions. Number one, when you're polling down there, there are places that are so poor. How do you reach those people? How do you even do phone surveys there if they don't have landlines? How do you? It's a whole swath of the population.
Well, that's a good question. Look, and we've seen polls of varying quality that have come out in this race. Some that call landlines and cell phones. The Fox News poll, 40% of the interviews were conducted via cell phone. And, in fact, among respondents reached on a cell phone, Doug Jones had a 30-point lead in that race, among that group of respondents. They tend to be younger. They tend to be less white. They tend to rent instead of own their homes. These are all things that also in most off-year elections mean you're maybe less likely to vote. But one thing we have seen is that some of these more Democratic-leaning groups have been more energized in other races. So the question is Fox News, by calling all these cell phones, getting too many of them? Or are the other polls that you mentioned that only are conducted on landlines that can't reach a lot of these people, are they missing all those folks? And that's why Roy Moore has the lead in those polls.
Right.
Look, we're gonna get our answers. These
no
are the
kidding.
Questions that we all have. We're gonna get our answers soon enough.
No kidding. And then Richard Shelby sitting there going, "Well, Alabama, we don't want to be a joke again." It's funny. Ever since the beginning of time, Alabama, the first message you make when you're running is those outside. Everybody's an outsider, and they always position. That's the way you win in Alabama. Position somebody else as an outsider. That said, Richard Shelby sitting there saying, "I'm worried about commerce. I'm worried about Mazda bringing a plant here. I'm worried about tech opening some businesses here because they look at us as backwards and they're making fun of us." And Charles Barkley even made comments saying we got to stop looking like idiots here in Alabama. How much of that enters into this? That all of a sudden you reverse that and say, "Well, the outsiders are going to look at us foolishly if you do this, if you vote this guy in." Does that have any impact?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I really don't know. You heard Charles Barkley at Doug Jones' event, the former, the NBA Hall of Famer or Basketball Hall of Famer, talk about that as well. I don't know if that has an impact. I think, you know, I do think maybe for some, of the same sort of college educated white voters who were uneasy with President Trump in the last election, both in the primary and in the general election, that may be a compelling argument for some of them to vote for Jones. I really don't know the answer to that. I don't know that. I think it'll be interesting to look at the vote results by precinct and by county and see where Roy Moore underperforms most among in maybe some traditional Republican suburbs. Some folks who maybe have a little bit more money, a little more interest in the state doing well economically. And that would be something to watch, but I don't know how much voters are going to take that into account.
It's going to be fascinating looking at the stats after the fact. With about a minute left to go, Steve, what's the Democratic Party's message at this point? Not just in this race, but have they figured out who they are and who they're going to present? Because you can't just keep attacking and have that be your policy. That's they're looking at the last election going, well, if we're going to look into our souls and turn the lights on and see ourselves in the mirror, honestly, we dropped the ball on a lot of things. What's their message at this point? Or are they just sitting there going, we're going to pour a ton of money in here, and it's going to be he's not more?
I think that is the message for now. Look, I think I would also say that they've spent a lot of time and energy and money on talking about Doug Jones' career. He's been a civil rights attorney and a prosecutor. They've talked up his biography, but they haven't necessarily talked about his ideas and his policies. So right now, essentially the message is not only that he's not Roy Moore, but that he is a good and decent man and a faithful Christian. And you've heard that from both in Doug Jones's campaign advertising and also in the main Democratic super PACs advertising in the race. That obviously is an argument that is unique to this race. I think in 2018, you're going to see a couple of dual tracks. Most of the Senate races are in states where there are Democratic incumbents who will have to defend their records, including 10 who are in states that Donald Trump won in last year's presidential election. At the same time, you have a lot of Republican-held governorships that Democrats are hoping to pick up, including in a lot of blue states. And I think that's an opportunity for Democrats to kind of hone their messaging at the gubernatorial level and in races for Congress for the House of Representatives. And that'll give us our best sort of insight as to what the 2020 message might be, depending on who the nominee is. But right now, this race is very, very unique, and I don't know that it necessarily tells us a lot about 2018.
And you got President Trump, you got former President Obama leaving robocalls, you got a ton of money kind of on the down low being spent. And we will know, like you said, in a couple hours. Steve Shepard is the campaigns editor for Politico. The website, of course, is politico.com, and his Twitter is @Politico_Steve. Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks. And it's fascinating. Fascinating election with all the moving pieces and also how Alabama is demarcated and how they did the polling. It's going to be fascinating to see who got it right, who got it wrong, and what we can take away after we get the numbers. So thanks for being on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. It is a fascinating race. I'll give you some more insight into that. Plus, the president defending himself about from Kristen Gillibrand and the accusers. There was some pushback yesterday because the accusers, as I said, came out again yesterday. Also, North Korea. We may have our newest ambassador. I'll tell you about that. And lots more. You want to participate, of course, 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this.
790 KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most, and our SIG alert in West LA finally canceled. Northbound 405 before Santa Monica Boulevard, all lanes have reopened. However, we still have very slow conditions back from the 105 interchange. Still a little pocket of slowing through the South Bay from the 110 interchange up towards Hawthorne Boulevard. We do have a trouble spot, though, in the Culver City, westbound on the 10 at Robertson Boulevard. Stalled car. It's blocking the Robertson off-ramp, and that's adding to the slowing from Arlington Avenue, westbound on the Santa Monica Freeway. And things don't really open up until you get to Sentinella Avenue in Santa Monica. We have a crash in Arleta. It's a SIG alert southbound on the 5 at Sheldon Street right near the 170 split. Carpool left lanes blocked because of that with brake lights back from the 118 interchange. Also on the eastbound 118 right at Sepulveda Boulevard in Mission Hill, stalled big rig, partially tying up the right-hand lane. Just a little bit of slowing as you come up on that. On the in Azusa, we now have a new accident on the westbound 210 at Azusa Avenue. Crash blocking the left-hand lane with some brake lights back from Grand Avenue. And traffic is sponsored by Southern California Edison. They want you to stay safe around electricity. Make sure you are at least 10 feet away from overhead power lines. Stay aware. Stay safe. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC, Dependable Traffic.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Fake news would tell you that we don't care for Jews. I tell you all this because I've seen it all, so I just want to set the record straight while they're here. One of our attorneys is a Jew. We have very close friends that are Jewish and rabbis, and we also fellowship with them.
Y'all, I never heard a yee-haw to one of our friends is a Jew. All right, well, anyway, and by the way, happy Hanukkah sundown tonight to if you're a Jew. So that got a lot of pushback. And also, if I may, before we go to news, let me, here's what Charles Barkley had to say, because he's down there campaigning.
Tomorrow's a big day. And it's not just about tomorrow either. This is about for the next few years. We need every single person in this room to call every family, every friend to get out and vote. There's no way possible this guy should, number one, be in an election. I mean, there's no way. I mean, it's unbelievable that this guy is still in the race. When people in your own party say they won't vote for you or support you, that's a dead giveaway. It's amazing. I am begging and urging everybody to get out, call all your friends. At some point, we gotta stop looking like idiots to the nation.
So there you go. Obviously a Doug Jones supporter. So is that any of that gonna matter? I have no idea. We will know later today. My guess is that, that Mr. Moore is gonna win by at least 8 to 10 points. Just looking at all the polls. Seeing how things are going in Alabama, and the fact that the error, like we just talked about with Politico, people aren't necessarily honest in this kind of campaign about who they're going to vote for. Coming up, going to give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to Knott's Merry Farm or to the Body World's Pulse exhibit. Also, Corey Lewandowski is going to be on. Sean Spicer's writing a book. Corey Lewandowski has written a book, Let Trump Be Trump. I'm going to pin him down and ask him some behind-the-scenes stuff. What went on during the rallies? What went on doing different allegations? How about now? What would he tell the president to do with all the current allegations from the women who are now post-Weinstein making claims? So we'll be talking to him and you, 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after the news.
KABC News is live and local at 10:30. I'm Jeff Whittle, and voters are headed to the polls in Alabama, where Republican Roy Moore is facing Democrat Doug Jones for the right to fill Attorney General Jeff Sessions' old Senate seat. Now, the race has been roiled by allegations that Moore pursued relationships with teenage girls while he was in his 30s. President Trump is lashing out at a Democratic senator who urged him to resign after three women renewed their accusations that Trump sexually harassed them. Correspondent Bob Costantini reports.
After President Trump implied in a tweet she would do anything for campaign contributions, and she snapped back that he'd brought shame to the Oval Office, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand told reporters Mr. Trump's implication is a sexist smear. And Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts blasted the president on Twitter, "Are you really trying to bully, intimidate, and slut-shame Senator Gillibrand?"
That Thomas fire continues to grow in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. It's blackened 234,000 acres, destroyed 887 structures, mostly homes. It is still only 20% contained, but that's up 5% from yesterday. Meanwhile, you can make a donation to the fire victims through the United Way and Catholic Charities right now at KABC.com. And SpaceX delayed this morning's scheduled launch of a historic resupply mission to the International Space Station. It's going to use a previously flown rocket and spacecraft for the very first time, but it was postponed to allow more pre-launch ground system tests. Now, Hawthorne-based SpaceX now plans to relaunch that recycled Falcon 9 rocket and Dragon capsule tomorrow. This check of the news brought to you by Newfem Medical Center. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Clippers top the Toronto Raptors 96-91, while the Lakers visit the New York Knicks this afternoon. afternoon. Ducks skated by Carolina 3-2. Our first place LA Kings put their 8-game winning streak on the line when they visit New Jersey at 3:30 this afternoon on KABC. Miami upset New England 27-20 on Monday Night Football, and Ball brothers LiAngelo and LaMelo have signed contracts to play for the same pro basketball team in Lithuania. That's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 1034. Here's your 790 KABC dependable traffic when you need it most. And now our second SIG alert has just been canceled of the morning. Southbound 5 at Sheldon Street. Crash now cleared from lanes. Traffic still slow from the 118 interchange. And our earlier accident on the northbound 405 before Santa Monica Boulevard, it was an accident involving a police cruiser from early this morning. That was cleared a few minutes ago. Right lane reopened, but you're still very slow from the 105 interchange. We have a stall in the Culver City area, westbound 10 at Robertson. It's blocking the Robertson off ramp, and we're seeing brake lights back from Arlington Avenue because of that. New trouble spot in Downey. It's on the westbound 105 at Lakewood Boulevard. Minor brush fire being reported on the side of the freeway there, and we're seeing some brake lights back from the 605 interchange because of that. And a crash clearing now in Azusa, westbound on the 210 at Azusa Avenue. It's out of lanes over to the shoulder, but there is slowing from Sunflower Avenue. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC Dependable Traffic. Here's your 790 KABC market check, and stocks are mixed in mid-morning trading. Dow way up 150 points, and the S&P 500 positive by 7 points, but the Nasdaq is down 6 points. KABC SoCal weather. Sunny skies today, highs upper 70s near the coast, mid-80s inland. Sunny again tomorrow, and a little change in temperatures expected. It's 73 in Van Nuys, 66 in Huntington Beach, 73 in downtown Los Angeles. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Hey, just visit today. ICanAffordCollege.com to get your financial aid at ICanAffordCollege.com. Apply year-round for your financial aid at ICanAffordCollege.com. Brought to you by the California Community Colleges.
KABC News, sponsored by California Community Colleges.
The phone lines are open now.
Right now?
Right now.
At 800-ABC-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Phone number 800-222-5222. Knott's Merry Farm. All the rides, Christmas Craft Village, nightly snow in the ghost town. You're going to get to go see the family four-pack of that or the Body World's Pulse exhibit. It's the West Coast debut, new real human bodies. And as I said, when I donate my body to science, could they encase me in plastic and have like a tour going through there and looking at all my stuff? I guess I have to make specific in my document that I don't want them using me for show business. That said, as we were been reporting, Kristen Gillibrand and the president got into it. She's calling on him to resign. She's going to run for president. She's got her posts everywhere. She's definitely got a higher profile. And because of this, the president, of course, is pushing back. He said lightweight Senator Kristen Gillibrand, a total flunky for Chuck Schumer and someone who would come to my office begging for campaign contributions not so long ago and would do anything for them. And a lot of people are saying the general takeaway is he saying sexual favors and is now in the ring fighting against Trump, very disloyal to Bill and crooked, used. The question there is, A, she won by landslides in her election, so I don't know how much she would need him. The other thing is her people are saying she only met Trump once and Ivanka Trump was in the room, so she doesn't know what he's talking about. But it's getting really contentious. And during the press briefing yesterday with Sarah Sanders, Jim Acosta, and she got into it about the fake news because the president keeps going fake news, fake news. And they're pushing. There's a big pushback now, especially by CNN, who's been singled out numerous times. Here's what Jim Acosta said to Sarah Sanders.
I would just say, Sarah, that journalists make honest mistakes, and that doesn't make them fake news. But the question that
when journalists make honest mistakes, they should own up to them. Sometimes. And a lot of times you don't. But there's a difference. There's a very big... I'm sorry. I'm not finished. There's a very big difference between making honest mistakes and purposefully misleading the American people, something that happens regularly. You can't say, I'm not done. You cannot say that it's an honest mistake when you're purposely putting out information that you know to be false, or when you're taking information that hasn't been validated, that hasn't been offered any credibility, and that has been continually denied by a number of people, including people with direct knowledge of an instance. This is something that... I'm speaking about the number of reports that have taken place over the last couple of weeks. I'm simply stating that there should be a certain level of responsibility in that process. Ryan, I called on Jim.
This is not the line of questioning that I was going down, but can you cite a specific story that you say is intentionally false, that was intentionally put out there to mislead the American people?
Sure. The ABC report by Brian Ross, I think that was pretty misleading to the American people. And I think that it's very telling that that individual had to be suspended because of that reporting. I think that shows that the network took it seriously and recognized that it was a problem.
Sure.
Jim?
If I may, though, I was going to ask a question about something
well,
else.
Well, you used it on something else.
So he used it on something else. The other thing that is interesting, and then we'll move on, about that is that the president is claiming that he doesn't know these women who are accusing him. Said, I don't know the women. And the pushback from Sarah Sanders has been that we have eyewitnesses to these events. And I thought to myself yesterday, well, wow. So how do you have eyewitnesses to events that didn't happen if the president didn't see them? So already there's such a disconnect here. And I feel sorry for everybody listening and for us in the news media trying to figure out the spaces between the answers here. What's going on when you say he doesn't know them, but wait a minute. There were eyewitnesses, and it turns out the eyewitnesses weren't even at that event. They were women who were in different pageants, beauty pageants, the year before, and one was a teen beauty pageant. So they weren't actually eyewitnesses. So we're getting all kinds of news from both sides. They're claiming to be accurate, not accurate, and everybody out there and us, we have to discern who's saying what and get to the bottom and peel the onion. Meanwhile, bigger story, North Korea. Everybody's got their hand on the button, supposedly. We're seconds away from what we've been reporting. Well, we have somebody who wants to just broker a peace. Help us all. Heaven help us all. And that would be Mr. Dennis Rodman. I will read you what he said next, because he's over there in China, and he's actually trying to get the president to allow him to go to Pyongyang to meet with his good buddy, his friend for best friend for life, as a matter of fact, Kim Jong-un, because he feels he can make some movement. Wouldn't that be the incredible statement? You got to call Rex Tillerson and say, Rex, pull back, man. I don't know what diplomacy everybody's doing, but talk to Rodman, because I think he's got his finger on the pulse of this thing. So I'll tell you, it's kind of fascinating what he had to say. We'll do that next, 800-222-5222. Don't forget, we got the Knott's Merry Farm package and the Body World's Pulse exhibit when we do the news quiz, and Corey Lewandowski talking about his book, Let Trump Be Trump. All of that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
790 KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most. Downtown LA on the southbound 110, right at 3rd Street, we have a wreck blocking the right-hand lane. That's causing slowing back from the 5 interchange in Elysian Park. In Hollywood, southbound on the 101 at Sunset Boulevard, we have some trees reported on fire next to the freeway there. And we also have a brush fire in the Downey area. It's on the westbound 105 at Lakewood Boulevard. It's a brush fire over on the side of the freeway there as well, with traffic backed up to the 605 interchange because of that. Also, westbound 10 at Robertson, West LA area, stalled car is still blocking the Robertson off-ramp with brake lights back from about Western Avenue. And traffic brought to you by Fitness Kitchen LA. Use the code 79TALK at fitnesskitchenla.com for $79 off your first week of meals with a minimum two-week purchase. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC, Dependable Traffic.
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tillman 10 continues. So what would you think about Dennis Rodman doing diplomacy for us with North Korea? He's now said that both Kim Jong-un and the president love control. And he said it from Beijing, where he is now. He said that the warnings of nuclear peril are harmless entertainment. His quote is, ain't nobody got no finger on the button. And I hope we can quote him on that. Rodman is trying to be a peacemaker, and he's hoping to arrange a trip to Pyongyang, which he's been to 5 times, but the U.S. ban against American citizens traveling to the country right now has stopped that from happening. But He says that Kim Jong-un is in a position where he wants to do lots of things that are really positive, but the history of the country is stopping him. He thought we would give it a shot while we're here to try and get into North Korea early next year. He plans to make a document and write a book about his relationship with Kim, and he believes he can alleviate some pressure as far as communication between the U.S. and North Korea. This is hilarious. Listen to this. One of his North Korea trips in 2013-2014, Kim gave me three things to say to the president. They asked us, can you go back to America and ask them to do this for us? Robin says, for years he kept these three things, which he claims are very reasonable, secret, because Kim told him being a middleman might put him in danger. But that was before his buddy from The Apprentice, who fired him from The Apprentice, became president. So the whole thing with me, Kim, and Donald Trump, it's a whole different dynamic right now. I said to Trump, I got three things to say to you. And after that, he told me to F off. So I guess they weren't received so well. Robin calls Kim the marshal and says a dictator dubbed him a friend for life. He actually sang rock songs with Kim Jong-un, held his baby, which was the first time any outsider was allowed to hold his baby, and watched performances by a state-approved girl group, smoked cigars, and talked about a lot of normal stuff. So maybe, believe it or not, Dennis Rodman may be the key to all of this.
Peter, it's not right.
All right. I know it's a real stretch there, but we'll see. So Dennis Rodman, not going quietly into the night. He wants to do the job of Rex Tillerson and Jared Kushner. Hey, if they can do it, well, I can do it too. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
사랑의 눈을 뜨며 노래를 해요. 오직 그대 나만 위해서.
Of course, sing along.
For you, I love you only.
This is a Korean love song. I'm guessing South Korean. Talk Radio 790KABC. I do want to mention that the devastating fires all around our air are affecting so many. As a matter of fact, the numbers right now, California wildfires have destroyed 1,000 structures and counting. So you can make a donation to aid the fire victims via the United Way and Catholic Charities now at KBC.com. So if you can see to help, it would be, I'm sure, appreciated by a lot of people who need to help. As I said, Sean Spicer is writing a book about his White House tenure because he wanted to set the record straight. It's going to be fascinating to see what he puts in the book. It's called The Briefing. Corey Lewandowski put some interesting stuff in his book called Let Trump Be Trump, and we're going to find out about that stuff next, right after the news. Of course, I'm going to ask him what happened behind the scenes during the rallies, doing the run-up, doing the escalator speech that he gave, which Corey Lewandowski wrote for him. That kind of went off the rails a little bit, but worked out. So Corey Lewandowski next, and then a chance to win tickets, four-pack, to Knott's Merry Farm and the Body World Plus exhibit when we do the news quiz. So lots to get to next hour, and we'll do it right after the news here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.